Segovia to share the greatness of God's word. So, Al, welcome.
The first thing that comes to my heart is to simply say, I love you. Every last one of you. And don't worry, no one gets more than the other. You all get a lot. God bless your hearts. And for our visitors, what a joy it is to see your faces shining with that Christ within you. So welcome again. Those of you who know my profession, it's the United States Postal Service, Michael. And in the Postal Service, we have titles for different types of mail. I work with the big stuff, magazines and lawyers, folders and all that. But the magazines, we call them periodicals because every month they change. Every month they're new. Every month the opinion from last month flip-flops to another opinion. But you know what? God's word isn't a periodical, period. God's word is the same and always will be. And so for that reason, we have so much to learn from and draw from his word to share with one another. And like we just heard in one of the songs, this is key right here, serve. So first of all, things in order here, I would like to thank all those, I get choked up a little bit, who have served the love of God in your prayers for Shate and myself and for our Zeus. We believe he was waiting for a miracle from our Abba Father. Update. Zeus is getting better and better. He's returning to the old Zeus. And if that doesn't melt our hearts, nothing will. I was sharing with Bob earlier this morning because he's been very quiet. He's been pretty ill. And I said to Shati, gosh, I just wanted to bark one time. And the following day, I was doing something. He looked at me. And I'm not going to do this. He barked. And I said, Shati, you can... He barked. Yes, he barked. He barked. And so he's back to his Zeus ways again. He wasn't eating. He hadn't eaten in 4 days. And now he's got his appetite back also. So prayers are powerful. And people, some people may say, oh, but that's just an animal. Who created them? Who created them? God. And why? Just to put, you know, bells and whistles in the world? No. It's for our enjoyment. Sure, we're not going to have a lion and an elephant in our backyard. That's a given. You can go to the zoo. But we can have dogs, birds, cats, and what have you. And let me tell you, those of you who have had these pets, they are truly amazing and a blessing. And one thing that we've only had dogs, what dogs do for me and Shati is they remind us about our Heavenly Father. Such things as unconditional love. That's what dogs do. You can smack them. The very next minute he comes up to you and licks you and loves on you. And you're going, unconditional love, loyalty. All those things that they show remind me about the things that God tells about in his word. So thank you again for your prayers. Don't stop because you'll be out and about running again. But, oh, what a relief, what a relief. Which brings me to this morning's title of my sharing, and it is Serve the Word. Serve the Word. On the screen we have our theme verse, Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We all need to be served something, sometime, one way or another, and that's what God exhorts us to do. You know, it's understood that ministering and serving are interconnected. You know, we think of minister as a preacher and something or something like that, and it is, but to minister is the act of serving, or it's interconnected with that word. Service is an active verb, meaning it describes the act of doing something for someone else. So we see that it's giving or providing or both. Or both. You make the decision in your heart when you serve. To serve means to provide something for a function or an act in a helpful way for someone or something. Basically, it's of giving assistance or fulfilling a need. Have any of you ever had a need? Do you think you'll have more needs in the future? And when people serve you and fulfill that need, it just warms your heart and we can do it the best we can possibly do with that love of God. One could also serve in the military. There's some of us here who have done that. In one of the services. As I once did, serving in the Navy, this brought me to San Diego. You know, if you use your hindsight and you think about the right turn you made or the left turn you made, where would you be had you done the opposite? Well, I'm so thankful to the Father that I made the right, pun intended, the right turn. And first of all, joined the military, and that brought me to San Diego. Because I believe in my heart that God already had a purpose for my life. So I don't question His direction, I just follow it. One of the best examples of serving and giving was and is by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's shown that throughout God's Word, and He shows that today in your lives. It's amazing. It's just truly amazing. He served His Father by giving His life as an atonement for man. Remembering that we didn't deserve it. Talking about serving up some love right there in a nutshell. So, let's look at some of His ways for our learning this morning. Let's start with what I call a wow verse. A wow verse. It talks about those who are faithful and watching for the Lord's return, speaking of serving. And for this, could we all please go to Luke chapter 12, verse 37, as I go there. Luke 12 and verse 37. This is what I call the wow verse, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. What? Jesus, you can't. You know who I am? You're going to serve me? It says that. We just read that. You know, when I saw that, I said, wow. Wow. That's our Lord and Savior and His heart for His people. A true leader is about serving others, and leadership is found in humility and service to others. You can never serve too much, like a buffet. Let's see what happens with the apostles James and John as they were asking Jesus when it comes to the kingdom of God and to share in Jesus' suffering and sacrifice. Really? You know what you're asking here? But it's not my word, it's the word's word. So, let's look at Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 35. I'm going to read the NLT because I really like the way it opens up and uses contemporary English, but still, yeah, it's the Word of God. Mark 10:35. This is the dynamic record. But it just shows you sometimes the arrogance of man. But who better to set him straight than Jesus Christ? Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him, teacher, meaning Jesus Christ. They said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. One on the right and one on the other, on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you are asking! Exclamation point. Are you able to drink the bitter cup suffering I'm about to drink? This word cup in the Old Testament means the wrath of God. It's used in other places. But he's asking them, are you able to drink from the bitter cup that I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? To me, the answer is no. But that's what they're asking. Listen to the reply. Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. No, they weren't going to be beaten like Jesus was and stuff, but they are going to have tribulations like you and I do. They are going to do some suffering. But I have no right, this is Jesus speaking, to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant, and I think I would be too. I'd give them a sharp joust with my elbow to the rib cage. What are you doing? Verse 42, it goes on. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. Does that happen today? It sure does. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. Does that happen today? Yes, it does. But among you will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave or servant of everyone else. Man had a hard time swallowing that pill. For even the Son of Man, here's the key verse, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm getting choked up again. Why me, Lord? It's not for me to question, but it's a proof on just how big God loves us and just how much Jesus Christ did his Father's will. It's not always about me, and focusing on personal power or my self-interest. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. First part of this verse 3 is, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. That's a big hurdle for a lot of people. You say, no, but I'm the best. Well, funny things happen in your head, but it just said, thinking of others better than yourselves. Verse 4, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others also. These verses that we're looking at, I believe are verses that can ground you. They can get you to do the checkup from the neck up and realize just who you are and what you have. So it's time to serve. It's time to serve. Serving will always be the righteous way to walk for you and I, and will lead future generations to look at the Lord. It's happened before we were born. Now it's our turn. Go to Psalms chapter 22, 30. Psalms 22 and verse 30. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord, and why shouldn't they? His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. If there's ever something to talk about with someone, it's this. All the other things come and go. they're meaningless, really, in comparison. But still yet, this is what we can do for those future generations. And here's something that just came to mind. Women who have had children will understand this one. When you're pregnant, have you ever heard someone talking to the baby when it's still inside? Not that this hasn't been done, but what about reading to the word to your little child while it's all snuggled up inside, waiting to, I'm ready. Compassion is definitely another part of serving also, compassion. Shouldn't we do this every time we serve? Absolutely. Serving shouldn't be done out of duty or looking good. Because the love God showed and gave to Jesus Christ's heart should be in ours also. Amen? Let's look at an example of compassion of Jesus and how he served the people. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was serving them healing. This is what he did. Jesus could have said, no, there's a football game on today. I'm going to stay home and watch it. Or the mall down the street is open. I'm going to go shopping. He went around preaching and speaking in the synagogues, teaching God's word and healing. His plate was full, gladly so. So, there's many that we can serve this love of God and help the lost. It happened in his days and time. It's happened yesterday, and it's happening today. It's happening today, and we can be an active part of serving those folks. Once again, Jesus became our standard for serving. So his examples, God gave us to follow. Please go to Galatians 5. Well, you can go to Galatians 5:13, but it's right up here on the board, on the screen. Again, for brethren, you have been called. God's called each and every one of us. Don't say, I didn't hear him. You weren't listening. God's called, or we've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Quit thinking about me, 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 me. What's in it for me? What can I do to make me feel better? Good word, but. By love, serve one another. Even if it's saying, God bless you, Barbara. Daniel, you look fantastic today. I'm so glad I know you. Judy, the love you've shown, my beautiful wife and I, thank you for serving us that up. Thank you. It's not difficult, you know. Or how about asking somebody, how can I serve you today? Here Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and for you to see this, go to 1 Corinthians 10:33. 1 Corinthians 10:33. Occasionally I jump to the NLT or King James. Right now I'm going to go back over to the NLT. 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just want what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. Sometimes serving can lead to that for a person's life. Why are you serving me? Because you let me. How about that? So much to do when we serve. We need to be willing to listen, to care for, and help serve those in need. All the while, we're embodying the heart of Jesus committed to serving others, and especially those in need. An example is with Reverend Anthony Sakwa and his ministry. And look what he's doing over in Africa. Talk about serving. That's serving. But you know what? It's a domino effect. What we've served, thank you for Bob initiating this, what we serve him, what is he doing? He's serving many, many others. And it's growing fast. Do you see what serving can do? You equip others with the truth of God's word to serve them in their need. And that's what's happening down there in Africa. It doesn't just have to happen here in San Diego. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Matthew 25, 34. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and it's just amazing. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are here, blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and showed you hospitality, or naked and gave you clothing. Jesus is saying this. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Think about that when you serve. Then the king turned to those on the left side and said, cursed ones into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not help you? Here we go. And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. Wow. He's got a wonderful way of communicating something that will hit their hearts. When we show kindness and compassion to those who are hurting and those around us, we want to serve them with the love of God, plain and simple, just as Jesus did. Now some food for thought. We are serving the one true God in our capacity of serving, as we just read what Jesus was communicating. Yes, we are serving in the capacity of serving others, just as those disciples Jesus was talking to in Matthew. The knuckleheads, right? But hey, they had to be straightened out a little bit. So the generations to come will hear and see the examples of the past generations, you and I. There's more to come. So let's continue to love, serve, and give, continuing the examples that our Lord and Savior has shown us. Even though he's no longer here in the physical body, he did a lot. It came all the way to the present and will continue to go. And as he's in heaven, he's our advocate serving on our behalf. Now allow me to share a real life story on serving. You may or may not have heard of a man named Dan Cafe. Anybody? Nope. Just like me. He is the CEO of a food chain called Chick-fil-A. You heard of Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
And he's a great example of a Christian servant leader. Chick-fil-A is one of the most successful fast food franchises that hasn't been around long. It really hasn't. He, Dan, gives it a culture of values. He gives it a culture that values customer service and community involvement. He didn't have to do that, and he doesn't have to do that, but that's what he does. Mr. Cathay says his faith drives his leadership style service. Yet, he comes to his job with an attitude of humility. Cathay exemplifies an attitude of Christian leadership by being humble and compassionate, as we read earlier, all while empowering his employees. This is by acknowledging and valuing the needs of others and the value they bring. Think about that when you go to work. This respect and trust is a part of good leadership, plain and simple. As sons of God, we have the best and ultimate example to follow, Jesus Christ. Well, how do I serve? How do I do it with love? Read his word. Read the records that I've just shared with you and others. There's many, many others. That's the example we follow. God has given you and I an honorable opportunity and privilege to serve mankind the word of God. Serve the word. Serve the word. All while serving with a humble and loving heart, the love that God gives you and I. We have no excuses. God's given us that love in our hearts. We just need to let it loose. Let me close with this. God gives me many opportunities to practice and give service to my fellow co-workers, speaking of myself for a moment, to my fellow co-workers, which at times includes praying for a need or a necessity and showing them God's love. Those of you who have heard my stories from time to time know that there's people now on a regular basis, when they have a need or something they need help with, they yell out, "Al, can we pray?" This is in a real-world job, private company, not a church. And I look at them, I go, "Absolutely." And I stop what I'm doing, go over to the side, and pray with them. There's other people, and it makes me so blessed at work that when we see each other, we say, "God bless you." Not, "Hey, how's it going? What'd you do last night? Did you watch the ball game?" Yeah. But they say, "God bless you." And that's a big deal. I had a supervisor. Now, this is my supervisor who I have to answer to. One day she comes to work, and her face looked distressed. And right away, I said, "Something's going on. How can I serve this woman?" So I went over to her desk, just her and I. Her name is Joji. And I said, "Joji," I said, "are you okay?" She goes, "Not really." I said, "How about we pray?" And her head all of a sudden perked up. She goes, "Pray?" I go, "Yes." She goes, "Okay." I thought she said, "Oh, you can't do that here at work." So God inspired my words in my prayer for her. The prayer was maybe 3 minutes long. When I got done, the first thing she told me was the hair in her neck was standing up. I said, "That's the Holy Spirit tickling you." I expressed to her, "Thank you for saying that, but I'm just expressing the things God has shown me in my life, that God has served me through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And she says, "Can you show me how to pray?" I said, "Yes, but you know what? You got to do it. And the prayer I just had with you is for right here, right now. You can talk to the Father. You don't have to be eloquent. God tells us that. Hear your heart and let God serve you the best response to your prayers." So I put this before us all, including moi. Look for those chances to serve and serve the word. Amen? Thank you. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for showing me this in your word, as you always do, and how important it is for each one of us to serve one another with that love of God. And Father, to serve strangers the same. It doesn't matter what their record is, but that we serve and we just step out with that heart that's grounded and rooted in your word, that love that we can show others, Father, so they have something much better than the world's advice. After all, the peace from above is something the world could never give them. So I just thank you for each person's heart here of serving, and that we take advantage of that. We can speak, we can hug, and Father, we can love. So I just thank you for this opportunity, all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Al.
Thank you.